It's not doing that. Okay, well, I'm just going to go. You run it from the back then. Okay. So I'm going to do my thing up front. So it's part 9. Well, you'll get these there, right? And today, I want to talk about developing a culture. And you say, well, that's a weird thing to talk about. Is that biblical? Well, there's no defined word for that scripturally. But of course, we're going to look at a number of scriptures this morning, and we're going to have a look at what that means and what that looks like. Because, I don't want to give the whole thing away, because, next one. When we look at the King and His kingdom is what we're all about, and the grace of the gospel of Jesus Christ, every church has these things, and sometimes we go about them differently. And so we have vision, what God has called us to, and we have values, what God has placed within us, and our ventures where God leads us and open doors for us, and how we can be the bridge to our community, to explain that a little bit more, and how we can touch the hearts of our community, and how we can have a bridge that crosses into a place of safety, and all that good prophetic stuff that we talk about. And then, of course, we talk about our vehicles, which is the way we go about and what we do them and what God has called us to. So when we look at that, and I realized that's why we had an amazing life group on Tuesday night, because some of what I want to share tonight came out of that, because I realized when I say something, people think that I'm just saying it for the sake of saying it. And I'm going, no, I really mean that. Because someone mentioned, you know, when we were on camp, it was so free and we could worship. But when we got into church, we all get quiet. I'm saying, yeah, that's called religion. Because if we truly believe this is just a building, keeps us cool in summer and warm in winter and all that fancy stuff, and this is not the church, and we are the church, what matters which building we're in? So, I get a bit personal, okay? Thank you. Just remember, I won't mention much, but do you know, for one reason or another, I've never, ever, ever, ever worn jeans in church on a Sunday. No, seriously.
He's possessed. Deliver him.
There we go. Exactly. So we chatted about it at Life Group. And if you asked me why, I'd have to say, no, I don't know. I just never have. So how many pairs do I own? I own a few, yes. You want what?
Rips.
Oh no, let's not push the envelope here. Do you know, most of you do realize that I am actually closer to 60 than I am to 50. Yeah, I know. Anyway, I'm being vulnerable with you. Don't now lay a whip across my back. Hey, thank you. Even in jeans, yes. So one of the questions we spoke about, I was like, when I say, let us pray, I mean, let us pray. And everybody thinks I'm just saying that so that I can pray. Right? Because when I say, let's pray, I pray. And everyone listens to me pray. And I'll explain to you, when I went to Madagascar, the first time I went and ministered in Madagascar, I ministered in this church, and there were about 1,200 to 1,500 people in this church. And I said, let's pray, expecting me to pray for them while I'm going to preach and all that. And as I closed my eyes, I wasn't looking up, as I closed my eyes, I heard this noise, and then I heard this roar of 1,200 to 1,500 people praying. And it was like this, came back at me. And I stood there like, what's going on? Because of course I'm not used to it. So I'm going, what's going on? And I looked up and they're all standing praying. And I go, yeah, I know. I said, let's pray. They got it. And I thought, that is the coolest idea I've ever seen. So, let's pray. Well, okay, well, let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning, Lord God. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your ministry to us this morning, Lord God. And God, we ask that through the preaching of the word, through our worship, our songs to you this morning, you would be glorified in everything we do and say. And all God's people said,
Amen.
So this is a dream of mine fulfilled. You've helped me fulfill a dream. I haven't even got to my notes yet. Another thing, I just want to say to you, people with young children, prayer times, pre-service prayer times, is for the whole church. If you didn't know that, I'm telling you now. It's for the whole church. We actually start at 10 o'clock. Not 5:10, not 10:10, not 10:15, not 10:35, 10:40. 10, we start. And my expectation in my heart is that the kids will pray with us. Because we, how many times have I said we're not a church of us and the kids out there? We're a church of kids all together and teenagers all together. And when we get together pray, I expect that the kids are going to come and pray with us. The teenagers are going to pray with us. The young adults are going to pray with us. Because if not, parents, we teach the children that the prayer time is for adults only. Afterwards, I'm on a roll here. So we need to get together and encourage your children. I'm not laying a heavy on you here. To encourage them to come with us and pray with us. Pre-service and Wednesday nights. Can you imagine the kind of church we would have into the future if we taught our kids now? That it's good and healthy to come and pray with mom and dad. And with all strangers around them. The most powerful prayer I ever had that I felt the Spirit of God invade me was before we went out one time to go and preach in Madagascar. And a 10-year-old came up and grabbed the mic and said, Lord bless him in Madagascar. And he gave the mic back and sat down. I felt the Spirit of God come on me and I felt, yes! And then others all came and said, oh great mighty Jehovah, Arthur and the cloud. I was like, sit down. You just messed up this kid's prayer. I'm joking, but you get my heart. Anyway, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, talking about developing a culture. And this is the template for everything we want to do and say. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed by the culture of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, which is good and acceptable and perfect. The will of God. Ephesians 4:11. I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you, walk in a godly manner, worthy of the calling to which you have been called. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, which is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Philippians 3:17, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. Change the way you behave. Change the way you do things. Change the way and look for the better ethos and culture. Colossians 3:2, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Don't be so grounded in the earth that you can't look up to the stars. And sometimes just head for the stars and you get your feet off the ground. Anyway, 1 Thessalonians 2:7. But we were gentle among you. We didn't come with a harsh culture. We didn't come with our screaming and shouting. Like a nursing mother taking care of her own. This is the Apostle Paul talking to the Thessalonian church. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own soul, because you have become very dear to us. We need to understand, we're a church of multicultures. And if you're like me, we're still babies here, we've only been here a few years, Well, actually, if you consider in January, it would have been your 9 years already. Oh, no. What? If you come from another culture at the age that we came, the truth is I'm never going to be 110% Canadian. I'm always going to be a little South African. And so I like to call us Canadians, because we're going to be South African Canadians. And we came to be part of this and to be part of it. So I'm not talking about changing your culture. And I know we get all spiritual and we say, well, we do put aside your South African culture because it's kingdom culture. Yeah, absolutely. Kingdom first, then my culture. But it's not like, well, lose your whole culture now and it become something that you're not. But we need to see the king and his kingdom first and foremost. And then if I have any idiosyncrasies about South Africa, then we'll go there. And for the same for all of us. Do you know that the culture that we require is going to be all tongues, all languages, all tribes, everything? We're going to be multicultural in heaven. We're going to be everything that we are and more. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And then we get to the end of the story and the end of the book or the movie, and you know we win. We win. Okay. Hallelujah, we win. Praise you, Jesus. Revelation 21:2, "And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband." Heaven will be cultural and it will be urban culture. It's not going to be run off and lose yourselves in the bushes and we'll just go and do our thing out in the mountains. The new city, the New Jerusalem, urban culture. I'm just throwing that in for whatever reason. So let's have a look at some of our vision and who we are. First of all, we believe, if you've never seen this before, I thought it was a great illustration. We're about the Godhead, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We're about the King and His kingdom, number one, first and foremost. Jesus above everything. As Mark and Mo came preached so wonderfully over the last weekend, no agenda but Jesus. Everything's focused on Jesus. Jesus at the center of it all. Second thing, what kind of people are you? What kind of church is it? Well, we're a Word and Spirit church. We cannot divorce the two. We cannot have some on this side and some on that side. And there are people who've gone there, no, we're a Word church. And others will go, oh no, we're a Spirit church. And they're looking at the book of Acts and Corinthians and 12. And they're looking at everything that is in with the Spirit of God moving and everything. And that's all good and that's healthy and that's what we want. And we don't want to quench the Spirit. If you've never heard me say that before, I'm saying it now. We don't want to quench the move of the Spirit. We want to be holy rollers. Hallelujah, glory, glory. Come what may, Jesus. But we want to be grounded in the Word. We cannot divorce the two. We are Word and Spirit people. We're also an apostolic prophetic people. I spent the whole series doing all of that. And then we have our five E-graces. We want to encounter God, engage people, equip people, empower leaders, and extend the kingdom of God. Which looks like this. Encounter, engage, equip, empower. When we empower people into marketplace, because some of you are called to minister. Well, no, all of you are called to minister in the marketplace. Not some of you, all of you. That's where your ministry is. Some are called to leadership, as in the office of elders, deacons, ministries, saints, church planting, and we are connected to a translocal team. And we do all that to extend the kingdom of God. So I hope that is a little bit helpful when we're looking at vision and direction and what are we, who are we. And as every member, you should know this stuff. You know, as they went to the guy at NASA, and he was a floor sweeper and he used to sweep up and clean up. And he said, "What do you do here?" He says, "We put people into space." He understood perfectly what he did. They said, "But you've got a broom in your hand." He says, "No, no, but that's what we do here. You ask me, what do we do here? We put people into space." And so we need to see the bigger picture. Well, no, I just make the coffee. Do you know how important that person is? And I wished we had more people who would see that and take that on and help people. Help out. So that I don't see Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, Susan, bless her dear heart, and a small team running backwards and forwards, running backwards and forwards. We're a family. That's my heart. Well, we'll get onto that. What are the components of culture? Well, we have values. They comprise, I'm just going to go through this quickly. They comprise ideas about what in life we deem important at the bridge. This is the bridge. This is not the church down the road. This is not the church across the road. This is an ethos and a culture that we want to inculcate here for us. Acts 17:26. God has appointed everybody a time and a place. And if you are called of God to be here, this is your time. This is your place. They guide the rest of the culture. We help. We think. Another dream. I don't know why we all stand and we have lovely plush chairs. Get out of them, come and worship in the front here. Someone said, asked at the life group, though, you must blame my life group for this whole thing. They said to me, like, can we have a mosh pit? And someone said, exactly. What's a mosh pit? I said, explain a mosh pit. And they went, yeah, can we do that? Thank you. Exactly. No. And they said, well, what does that entail? I said, you know, we had an elder in our church in South Africa. He was 67 years old. He was the first person to stage dive. She says, no, now you're freaking me out, Mark. No. That's too wild. Well, then we can't sing and talk about liberty and freedom when we're not free to worship the King as we come down. I'm taking note. Now, don't go silent on me. I'm taking note of all the hallelujahs and amens because I want to see you guys doing the mosh pit. We can't talk about it and say, yo, let's do it. And then when I say, let's do it, you go, I'm not going to say who. It'll give it away. Let me not do it. I don't want to embarrass anybody. Norms consist of expectations of how people behave in various situations. I told them at the life group, my brother and his wife were here in July last year, and he came in, and his wife is a third generation PK, pastor's kid in the Wesleyan church denomination. My brother qualified, was a pastor, preacher out of the Wesleyan denomination, etc. They now in a Free Methodist Church. And I only say that to say something to you so you get to understand their mindset a little bit. So they come here and Holy Ghost meeting, people are waving flags, people are dancing up and down. And afterwards my brother says to me, so what did you think? He says, man, that was distracting. I said, which part was distracting? He said, the people waving flags and dancing up and down. And I said, you know what? He said, they were expressing their love for Jesus. Yeah. And he looked at me and he said, man, he says, I never thought of it that way. So now he's seen some movie about grace and he's like, Mark, you have to go see that movie. Yeah. You know, we're all works in progress. Yeah, I love my brother dearly. He's my champion. I want to tell you, he's my hero. So I'm only telling you that story just to help you to understand it's good to be free. The only thing you can't do is disrobe. You can stand on chairs. You can be liberated. You can run around the room. Unlike David. Each culture has methods that enforce its norms. A culture is taught, not caught. We'll come to Canada and we'll just be like everybody. And then we say one or two words. And people say, nah, you can't say that. That doesn't mean that. That means this, that, that. I was like, oh, man. Have pie. Have, what is the pie? Pumpkin pie. Ooh, my. My culture, my palate said, niet, no. Nux. No, never. And then someone said to me, was that a homemade one or another store-bought one? I said, no, I think they told me a store-bought. He said, no, you must try a homemade one. So I tried a homemade one. I was like, this is good. I can eat this. So I had to be taught. I can't just come and imbibe and assume. And with these cultures and ethos, we have to learn. Is culture design or default? There's no such thing as a church without a culture. When we did church planters, we went to 14 different churches that were relating, NCMI relating churches. We went into each one. We came back and our heads were like blown because we thought that would be cookie cutter. And we got there and every church was different. And they all had. And you know why? It was because of different cultures that through the Lord Jesus Christ, the leaders had inculcated into the church. You're either leading, either pioneers of something. You're either following or settlers or just inherited it. And you're like, oh, well, we'll just go along with whatever. And I tell you, as for me and my house and this leadership team, we want to be pioneers in the kingdom. We're not settling for less. We want more and more of what there is in God. Does it match up with our values? Are we trying to inculcate something that's got, doesn't have our values? That's why the changing of the name to The Bridge is so important to us. I don't know where it's in my notes, but I just want to say this to you. I sent out an email to the whole church about the adult Durham Care in Bailey Street. They're looking for someone who can play the piano or a guitar. You don't have to sing if you're shy to sing. For 1 hour a month. 1 hour a month. Now, if you're working, I know that you can't be there. So don't. But my fear is that the congregation gets it and they read it and they go, okay, the worship team can take care of that. No, the worship team can't take care of that. They're committed here. Some of them come here Monday night. They get a loft there Tuesday night. They're here Wednesday night. They're doing something on Thursday night and maybe Wednesday, Friday night. And some of them are leading youth on Friday night. They're committed. I don't have to worry about this. So I'm asking you, if you out there and you can play the piano, because I know there are some of you who haven't stepped up here, we can play an instrument and go and entertain these people. Be a bridge. We can't shout about it, yay it, champion it, and sit on our blessed assurance. Anyone say hallelujah, amen for that one? Oh, that was very weak. I want to encourage you, go and pray about it and think about it. 1 hour a month. Otherwise, I'm going to have to pull out my rusty old guitar. And they're probably not going to like that. Can our church or culture accommodate changes? Are we ready to change? Are we ready to see the stresses within and without and actually make adjustments to those? Mark, we don't like this preaching. Culture is a process of learning. When culture, there's a nice word, inculturation. It's when we teach and learn a culture and we move into it. Every church has a personality, the packaging, shared way of life. This is some of the repetitive. There we go. So what we want to do is we develop a culture. We need to build a preferred culture. Well, what does that mean? It means we look at the past, we look to the future because we're an apostolic prophetic people. We say, God, what are you saying to us? And I've been through this with the leadership team, so it's not like we don't know where we're going, what we're doing. I'm bringing this to you as a bit of a visioning and direction so you can walk away and go, hey, we got the five e-grace things down now. We know that we want to encounter God. We want to engage people. We want to equip the saints. We want to empower the leaders. And we want to extend the kingdom of God. And if that's too much for you, go to the website. It's all up there for you to read and to look at. We want to build a preferred field. When I say preferred, that's not preferred what Mark wants. Not what Chris or Michael or Kevin wants. It's what Jesus wants, what the Father wants from us. We partner with Him. He tells us this is where we're going. And if you don't figure this out, let me just say, we don't come up with a sermon series, well, that's like a cool one to do, let's do that. We say, Father, where are we going next? I told you many years ago, and I don't think I'm going to finish today, but Father, show me where we're going. And He showed me I was a jockey. 6 foot 1 jockey. And I was on this horse. And as it came out the stables, out the chute gate, I was, I'm like, but God, what's the track look like? Which way does it go? He says, don't worry, I'll show you. And that's never changed. So I'm desperately in need of God to show me. Because I don't know if it's a circle this way, if it's a circle that way, if it's got turns this way and that way. I'm just riding the horse and He's showing me. I've never been to the racetrack in my life, so this is not something I could think of myself. I never gambled on the horses in my life, so it's not something I could think of. This is what God showed me in a vision, in a dream. And the preferred culture we want to build is His preferred culture. We know we want to build biblical foundations, Genesis to Revelation, whole Bible theology, elders, deacons, saints, relating to the translocal team. It's biblical, that's why we do it. Need to decide what to build. Well, Jesus helped us hugely. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. He will build it in such a way that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And all we have to do is follow Jesus. We don't have to get clever. We don't have to be smart. Genesis 35:11, and God said to him, talking to Japheth, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall come from your own body. When we build according to His pattern, according to His kingdom, He will build His church. But it's also, we need to, and that's why we've been so intentional about this invite. We could have called it Evangelism 101. We could have called it Explosive Evangelism. We could have called it everything. But the minute I say the word evangelism, we do the whole worship in the campsite and worship in the church thing. When in the camp, if we said it that, you'd go, yeah, let's go. If you say in the church, you go, okay, so which 4 steps do we need, and how many 5 steps do we need, and 7 steps to being a better evangelism, and 4 steps to leading someone to Christ? And no. And they overcame them by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. That's all we need to invite. And these pretty cards here. I knew I'd get it in somewhere. Where we decide. Evaluate the present. How are we doing? Are we living in God's vision? Are we expressing biblical values? All those 4 or 5 scriptures I read out. Are we living according to that? I have to ask myself that as well. Am I obeying you, Father, without even thinking about it? When God says jump, do I say, well, why? Or do I just, Lord, I trust you, I have faith in you, I'm jumping. I thought it was a cool idea to stand up on the chair this morning and jump off. No, the Lord spoke to me 3 times before I was willing to do it. Why? I don't want to embarrass myself. But then I actually thought to myself, die to yourself. It's not about you, Mark. It's about what God asks you. Well, it's a stupid thing for Him to ask you. Yeah. Why did He do it? I don't know. Did it have any effect? I don't know. I don't care. I know He told me to do it. So on the 3rd count, I said, okay, God. Because I was like, if they it's Kevin's fault. If they sing this song again, and because I thought he was going to move on to the next song, I said, if they sing the song about I'm free and the chains off me, then I'll do it. And he goes back into it again. I was like, okay, God, I get you. We anticipate the future. What are the dreams in your heart? What future are you looking at? 1 Chronicles 12:32. Of Issachar, men of Issachar, men who had an understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Where are you going with your life? Where are you going in your calling? Where are you going in your favor and your purpose and your destiny that we sang about so cheerfully this morning? The church needs different gifts to function. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. If the picture is not complete, I've said this before, if the picture is not complete, it looks ugly. The minute we take that final piece and put it in, it goes, wow. When we put empty, we say, Amanda comes on, brings her gift, and we put it in, and we go, what a beautiful picture. Polyoikilos, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, I think it is. The manifold wisdom of God will be revealed to the world. As leadership, our job is to create the furrows for you to come along and with us. And hopefully one day, you won't be behind us. You'll come and stand up next to us and say, hey, can I create a furrow? Say, absolutely. Why? Because we believe in the priesthood of all believers. Yes, we want the priesthood of all believers. Will somebody come and priestly make coffee? No. Will someone come and help Alan straighten the chairs before every service? No. I had someone come to me once And they say, what can I do to help in this church? Before I could even open my mouth, they're no longer in this church, so it's okay. Before I could even open my mouth, they said, don't ask me to do chairs because I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian 40 years. And I looked at him and I said, I'll pray for you, my friend. Yeah, I mean, like, I want to serve, but I want to serve what I want to do. And sometimes, I don't know who it was, told me the story about they all got together one day to clean the church. The church all got together, so the pastor, in humility, noticed no one was cleaning the toilet. So he took the brush and the thing and he went in and he cleaned the toilet out. And someone else came in and said, now let me do that for you. And as they did that, different style church, different government, one of the deacons walked into the toilet room. And the guy was just taking the thing from the pastor. And the pastor said, no, give it to me. He said, wow. And when the deacon walked out, he said, if they see someone else cleaning the toilet except me, they'll fire me. I said, what? True story. I was like, somebody lost something along the way there. Developing a culture. There's two ways to build a culture. There we go. Deep theology. Do nothing. And we will have a culture of orphans. Orphan-spirited people who don't know the vision. They don't know where they're headed. They don't know where they're going. They don't know what they're doing. They just arrive on a Sunday and it's cool singing and they listen to a guy blurb for half an hour, 40 minutes, and then they go home. They come back the next week and they do that all over again. Orphan-spirited people. Or we could do something and we will develop a culture of healed and healthy sons and daughters, not of the bridge, but of the King. Sons and daughters of the Most High King. Sons and daughters who know who they are in Christ Jesus. Billy Graham says this, courage is contagious when a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are often stiffened. Let me read that again. Courage is contagious when a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are often stiffened. It means that it takes some people who want to see the mosh pit with me to be courageous and come up front and stand here, and even if it's four of you to start with. Because others' spines will get stiffened and say, yeah, we can do that. It only takes one or two teenagers to step up and pray in a congregation together that others will see, yeah, I can do that. We would never do it here, but I'll tell you how we used to teach our young kids. I don't say kids, they were 15 years old, used to come to the bush with us. They're so excited. Going on an evangelistic crusade. We're going into Mozambique. We sleep in tents and wash in rivers. And yeah, it's good, eh? 10 minutes before the service starts, young guy that went with us, he's now a pastor and is doing exceptionally well for the Lord. 15 years old. He said, James, how are you feeling? He says, oh man, I'm so excited to be here. I just want to tell these people about Jesus. I said, good. Take the mic, you're up. What? I said, no, take the mic, you're up. And we did that with two or three of them. Man, and every one of those kids became great preachers. We had his wife, funnily enough, was on the same trip. And they got married years later, also 15, but she was 4'8". Tiny little girl. And Chris has met her. Yes. She got up there, man, she took that mic and she preached and everybody was going, Kia, sit down. We're going to listen to her. She grew like 10 foot tall there. She was just giving the gospel and she said, what do I do? I said, tell your testimony. Tell them of the love of Jesus. And she just preached and preached and preached. Both of them in full-time ministry today. Courage is contagious when a brave man or woman takes a stand, the spines of others often stiffened. We have what we have because that is the culture we have chosen. And I want to tell you, there's so much more in me that I want to impart and involve and direct, But I also understand there's the grace of God that says, do not be too... Next week, you're all coming up mosh pit, because that's what I think is a cool idea, and that's what we're going to do. And if you don't, I'm going to give you the evil stare. That's not helpful. That's not, yeah, okay, so that row of people, they're not here this Sunday. I wonder where they are. But think about it. If you want to be exuberant for God, break out of the chairs. The prayer meeting we used to go to, how's this for thought? Because we had laborers to help us, on a Wednesday night we go to prayer meeting, all these chairs would be gone. People walk in there and go, where am I going to sit? How are you going to stand? And we would stand and we would march and we would declare and we would proclaim the King and His kingdom. And then next day everyone, the guys would come in and put the chairs all back again. And the guys in the beginning, that was like, that was a little bit uncomfortable. Why? Well, I didn't get to sit. Your prayer life is balanced on whether you're sitting or standing. Oh, man. Okay. Let me finish with this one today. What biblical culture should we have? There's a whole bunch here. Truth and honesty. Everything in love. Everything in honesty. Be truthful. We want to be caring and nurturing and build trust. And this is not me to you. This is all of us together. We want to be a family. My heart is this. This is a family. We're together. And some of us don't get the family factor. Because family factor means we're all in this together and we all have stuff to do together. And that's why we go from orphans to family. We honor one another. We want to have a culture of witness and invite evangelism, as we've been preaching on over the last couple of nights. Worship at all levels, prayer and praise, for everybody. Not separate the kids from us. But you have to. They have to be included because they're not the next generation. They are the same generation. And I believe that, and I preach that, and I understand that. But then when it comes to prayer time, you just say, oh, kids, go play. I would encourage you. I hope this doesn't come across harsh. They should be praying with us. I think some of you, what I've heard goes on in Sunday school, they'll teach you a few lessons about praying. I don't want to name them, but there was a little boy came up to me the other day. There were a bunch of kids together. I don't know, six years old, 7 years old, eight maybe the oldest. And there were five of them sitting around. I went, I said, hi, how are you doing? The one guy looked at me and said, I'm not feeling well, I'm feeling sick. I said, really? He said, guys, your mate here is feeling sick. Let's pray for him. I said, who's going to pray for him? And the one little guy said, I will. I said, okay. Man, he prayed a prayer. I walked away and I thought, sheesh, this kid doesn't need Sunday school. He should come to main church. 7 years old or whatever he is, how old he is. His parents know. I was like, my word, what are you being taught in there? And I went to the parents. I said, do you know this? They said, oh no, he prays like that at home all the time. I'm like, what? Good on the parents. Worship at all levels. That's not just singing songs. Prayer and praise together. Team and teamwork. We need, if I can say this again without belaboring, we need teams and teamwork to make this thing work. You heard of Trisha's appeal this morning. We need a team of people to say, we're the bridge. This is not for us. This is for our community. Here's my name, Trish. What do you want me to do for you? I can do this. I can do that. I can do the other. Am I needed? Excellence. We want to do things with excellence. We want a culture of excellence. We want a culture of effectiveness and fruitfulness. Holiness and faith. Now you're getting churchy. No, I want every man everywhere to raise holy hands. You are holy. You are the righteousness of God. You just don't believe it, some of you, right now. Well, I don't know if that's right. No, it is right. Faithful, generosity. We want to be generous on every occasion. I'm not talking about finances. Finances is part of it. Time, resources, and finances. Yourself. Biblical leadership and governance. We want to do things right. Priesthood of all believers. Well, priesthood of all believers means that when I come in, then I can just pray with everybody. Every series we preach here, everything we preach in here, is all to do with us filling in our 5E graces. And we want growth and maturity. If you're not growing and maturing, don't blame the dudes behind the pulpit. Have a look at what your lifestyle looks like. Have a look at what you are feeding and eating on. I could say so much more, but I'm going to stop there for today. I just want to leave you with this thought, and I'll probably maybe speak about it. And lazy gluttons. That's a little bit of an indictment. That's a little bit of Titus. Fix the stuff. These people are all a bunch of liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. That is their culture. That's what I'm leaving you here in on the Crete here to fix and change their culture into God-glorifying, a wonderful, amazing people. And the point is that we always look at that and we say, oh, well, there we go. Apostolic, translocal team, just setting elders in, and that's cool. And that's part of the truth. The other part is that he's trying to change a whole island's culture to be God-fearing, full of truth and honesty, caring and nurturing, family honoring, witnessing, worship, team, blah, 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 blah. The whole lot. You can read it. It's up there. And so, my heart is that we would continue to grow. And this is today is just a little bit of visioning and helping you look to the future. Go home and think about it a little bit. How are we building into this family? How are we touching the hearts of this family? Or is it all just gimme, gimme, gimme? I just want to come and just get fed every Sunday. Well, we're going to do that today. Join us with our Thanksgiving pie day. We're going to have a great time of coffee. And there's something being prepared for you out there. And we're going to have a wonderful time together. And there's some cultures that we're good. We have a great culture of coffee. We have a great culture of hospitality. We have a great culture of worship. We have a great culture, believe it or not, of prayer together. Sometimes on a Wednesday night, man, it just blows my brain. You know what I love about a prayer meeting? Let me tell you what I love about a prayer meeting. I know this sounds about all me and my wants, but this is part of the culture God's. I love it when I can, or one of the elders, can take the mic and say, let's pray for the lost. Puts the mic down and he doesn't need to touch it again. It's like going down, it's kick-starting a motorbike. Once you've kick-started, all you have to just vim, 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 vim. Well, depends. If you've got a big bike. If you've got a 50, like a lawnmower. Man, we want to go along like the big one. And when we put the throttle to it, that thing takes off. And we've seen that so many times. I feel prompted to tell this story. Last story, and then we're going to close. One of my greatest times that I had, as far as you, the bridge, are concerned, we were in South Africa, and we'd gone over for a team time, and you had a prayer meeting here, and someone recorded the whole prayer meeting, and then downloaded it onto a thing and emailed it across to Bridget and I. And we sat in bed listening to the prayer meeting. And we wept, and we wept, and we wept. Because all we heard was people's voices giving thanks to God for the goodness of God. And we were going, oh, that's sunset, 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 that's sunset. And I was like, wow, isn't that good? Isn't God good? And I want to encourage you, please don't hear this word as like, because then you're receiving it in the wrong heart. My heart is for you. My heart is that I love you. My heart is that I want the best for all of us together. I want us to live in an amazing culture. We want to know deeper and more the presence of God. All those other nice things, those four e-grace things are wonderful and happy. They are totally useless if we do not encounter God first. If we are not a people whose hearts turn towards God. And as you can hear, I can carry on for the next 20 minutes, but there's pie out there. And so just take that as a little bit of vision, a little bit of direction for the day, a little bit of focus, a little bit of, wow, I didn't know that Mark wanted us to pray when he said, let us pray. One of the words Lord said to me, this house shall be a house of prayer. And that's what I want. Us. Not ashamed to pray. Not, oh, well, here we go. Father, I come to you this morning. Let's pray. Let's try it. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. We come and we bless you, Lord God. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your encouragement to us, God, this morning. Holy Spirit, will you seal this in our hearts this morning? And all God's people said, Amen.